Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. It's the 14th today, 14th of September. And we do feel very autumnal at the moment. It's no longer light at 6 o'clock. It's just after six in the morning. And it is big jumper time, isn't it? Just looking for my slippers, actually. Sure what I've done with them. The kettle is on, a nice cup of coffee this morning. Keep us going. Hunting about. The internet is on. I've already done that. Yeah. Let's get that coffee in. Or we can have a chin chat. I recorded the pipe smoking video yesterday evening, so I have that to release. In fact, just to think of it, I'll get my phone out of the microwave and put it on charge, power it up for the day. Depending on how much use, it's an old phone, you see. It's smartish. Let's say that. Smart-ish. Get some... Oh, I've done that thing again, haven't I?
I turned the fridge off last night to do the videoing because it makes a noise when I turn it on.
And luckily it's not defrosted, and luckily... Stuff. So how many hours is that? It's amazing how the fridge can keep things cold, isn't it? And actually, when you think about it, in the old days, of course, we never had fridges, and we managed to survive, didn't we? Things were kept cool enough. But I guess what with people storing meat, we don't salt them down for however long. We sort of store stuff for a week or two, or maybe a month, and then we just pull it out and defrost it. It would be interesting to see how the salting down went, and then I must find out actually what that process is, because I'd like to know that when you want to use the meat, is the meat now incredibly salty? It just goes to show that salt is a very good thing, because people used to use it for preserving, as I just mentioned, but also that was a very healthy thing, presumably. Otherwise, why would they eat the food if they couldn't eat it if it was salt? But maybe the salt slowly declines in its usefulness. You know, I am... Oh, here they are. Here they are. That's right. I went to bed a little earlier than normal last night because I was quite tired. And I remember kicking off my slippers in the bedroom. Sometimes I've kicked them off before that in the front room. Because sometimes it's just too much having slippers on. I don't know whether your feet get hot or not. These are nice slippers, actually. Right, let's get down in the front room. Yeah, it's a funny old thing, isn't it, that salt thing, because if you put too much salt on it, I imagine it must be difficult. But people have said, well, certainly so-called health experts have said that salt is bad, gives you high blood pressure and all of that. But we know that if you have an accident and you go into hospital, they put you on a saline solution. So I'm not quite sure where all that so-called wisdom comes from, then, that says that salt is bad. Celtic sea salt, I think, is usually the best if it's good, or Himalayan sea salt. But then some people have now said, well, the trouble is that the Himalayan stuff doesn't necessarily come from the Himalayas anymore, and it's being manufactured and, you know... Anything that becomes popular somebody somewhere will find a way to manufacture vast quantities of it, cut corners, and it may not be as healthy as it ought to be. Or people have been led to believe. That's the trouble, isn't it? Never mind. I wonder if it's going to rain today. Yesterday, the last few days we've had torrential rain. I do know that the farmers need rain, but do they need as much rain as we're getting? And is this targeting farmers and their food and the ability to sow? That would be the question. Ah, that's nice. First sip of the day. And you join me for it. I am planning at some point today to set up the router. This I may have mentioned that my internet provider had been charging me a huge amounts of money, and I've done a bit of research and asked a few people, and people have come forward with different ideas for solutions to this. And as much as I do not like to rely on 4G, 5G and all of those things, the pay-as-you-go option is 90% cheaper than what I'm paying. That's what it is. So, I guess tomorrow's Monday, I will be telling my internet provider to switch me off forthwith. Stop it instantly. Because I want to get this other thing, system set up. So it's a SIM card and a router that you can plug and hardwire into. And you just buy the SIMs. Now, it may not be as fast, but that's okay. I'm not really making the videos in the same... I'm sort of paring them down now to the monologues every other day. I don't make any money from them, you see. The audience don't seem to watch them as before. Perhaps they find that because I'm no longer talking about the scary stuff anymore, and I'm more interested in getting on and doing the solutions and actually doing things rather than just waffling about it, then I think people have lost interest. And that's fine. That doesn't bother me again. That doesn't bother me, because if you're not relying on it as an income source, I will need to find a different form of income source, of course. I've been doing YouTube videos for a long, long time. Prior to that, corporate videos, and prior to that, entertainment. So something will come along. I need a shave today. Must be shave day. So, yeah, so one will have to do that. I'll be keeping the communications open, but I don't know how many people will buy the book. If the book takes off, I can write more, and that would be nice. You just never know, do you? That's the thing. And use the videos and what have you to promote. I've learnt a lot through the interviews I've had, and some people may or may not have enjoyed them, and some people may have enjoyed them. Unless you do that sort of thing, unless you listen to a vast number of different people on different subjects, whether some of them are a bit mad, whether some of them are a bit out there, let's say, unless you actually do that, you're not really in a position, I suppose, you're in a position to make your own judgments on all sorts of different things. But I suppose what I'm trying to say is, although some people have found it weird that I went down this path, I have to say, as somebody who has an open mind, it's been fascinating to listen to different things, and I'm not closing the door on any of them. Even the lady who was the American lady who was channeling aliens, I'm not closing the door on it. I did find that a bit fanciful, because I suppose the one thing, you know, with a number of people like that is time. You look back and you go, oh yes, at the time there may have been some plausible idea connected with it. And then as time passes, you think, well, actually, perhaps it was a bit of a nonsense. But I'm not closing the door, as I say, because who knows? But people like her may be completely harmless and just believes that's what she's hearing and that's what she's tuning into. And she may be conjuring up from a subconscious, which I think is far more likely, an illusion. You see, life is an illusion. It's all an illusion. If you were to come to me and say, Richard, what is your verdict on 62 years of being around in this body, on this earth, in this life, what is your conclusion? And that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I think that as you age, as you experience different aspects of life, as you go through various different emotions, your ideas, thoughts change. Does that mean that they were wrong during the earlier times? No, I don't think so. I don't think, you know, as people go along, what they believe in, what they accept, what they understand is right for them at that time. They may radically change their mind, they may change their politics, they may change their attitude, they may become, let's say, I don't know, sour, more disgruntled, they may become happier, they may become in their own mind wiser, who knows? But whatever they do become, it's the journey that has formed them and fashioned them, the reading, the listening, the understanding of jostling, from jostling with other people, is what has, excuse me, is what has formed their opinions. So, if you came to me now, I would say that life really is one big illusion. There is no right answer, I would hazard a guess. I am still of the opinion that nothing really exists. That this life that we're in is an illusion, that nothing actually exists, because, again, I come back to Paul Brunton, who was writing in the, I think he was writing in the 60s. It may have been earlier. I've got his book, one of them. He wrote a number of books. And his point was simply that you can't get at things. And I've mentioned this before, so I don't want to go over it again, but you can't get at things because in order to perceive anything, you've got to use your senses. And so in a way, the information at the end of your fingertips, the information that you see, the information of the interpretation of what you hear and so on, is interpreted by something else, by an agency, by your senses. You, the you that resides deep within you or around you, is cannot get to these things. Now, as I say, it may be that these things are not actually there, and so they're being interpreted just as a computer gamer uses the keyboards to access, or a mouse, or a, you know, joystick or whatever, to access a game. And I do think that life is a bit like that, really. Computer games do seem to be a metaphor for it, in a way. You can experience a world, but you can't really be in it. And I think, in a way, you lose yourself in this. And most people, I would say, have no idea that the true life force in them is witnessing all of this, and it's not actually in all of this, if that makes sense. So in other words, you are the you that's ever present, the you that your body belongs to, the you that is merely awareness, is some form of consciousness that people cannot really put their finger on, or manufacture, or create. You see, even when a baby is created, let's say, I think the consciousness of the baby does not come from the sperm and the egg. I think it has to come from somewhere else. The spark that makes that alive has to come from somewhere else. Now, people may disagree with me there, but I think it has to come from somewhere else. It's not a biological function, which may sound a bit weird, and I agree, you know, but we are the sum total of our thoughts, and that's my thinking. People may disagree with me, and of course they're very entitled to disagree with me, and they may hate me for saying these things, which people seem to... I mentioned this in a video yesterday, you know, some people just really hate somebody if they have a different thought, if they have a different idea of what life is about. Yet we're all individual. We all experience things very differently. We all have our own thoughts. And yet people find themselves... I think they get frightened. I think they get frightened when people have radical thoughts which really don't fit in with the perceived world that they're in. And of course their world is very much, again, directed by a narrative. And that in fact tunes in with what I've just been saying about that life is a whatever it was, the words I used, an illusion. Because I think that if you do remove yourself from the mainstream media, the newspapers, and even YouTube and other social outlets, your life is far more rewarding because you're not conjuring up, and I think that's what it is, conjuring up an illusion of a life that is counterproductive, really, I think, to where we ought to be. A lot of this technology is, it seems useful, and it seems beneficial, but I think a lot of it is actually counterproductive to what life is. And as you grow, talking about the journey of life, as you grow, I think I'm just trying to get the thoughts into words. I think as you grow and you go through life, you know, your mind is changing, your perception is changing, and as you grow, it's very easy to fall into line with what the perception, the general perception is. I think it's very easy to do that because one hasn't been around long enough in this body. I don't know what happens when you die, you know, when your physical body dies, let's say. I know that you don't die. The energy, I don't think energy can die. I don't think the you in you can die. And that's why death should not be feared. Yes, nobody wants pain. And we always seem to associate pain with death. But I think that whatever happens to one, you go on in some other manner. And I think that's very strong in a lot of people. I think that when you go into yourself, when you become aware of who and what you are, what you really are, not this surface, you know. If you imagine yourself as a book, most people think of themselves as the cover. They don't really see the text, the pages with what you really are. They just see the cover, and they're living their life as whatever the cover has depicted, you know. And I think actually, and when you think about that, the cover is just a thin bit of card. The text might be thin bits of paper, but there are many, many more bits of paper, many more depths and levels, is what I was trying to say, not devils, many more levels and depths in the paper. And then there's the words themselves and the meaning behind them, which you won't know fully. You may have a glimpse or the idea from the cover, but most people think of themselves as this is it. Life is what it says on the cover, whichever glossy picture there is and all of that. And I think that's how people perceive themselves. What they haven't realised is that inside them, the real them is the wisdom of the words and the knowledge that they have. And perhaps, using that analogy, that sometimes when you meditate or you sit quietly, you are able to reach one or two chapters. But let's say, for the sake of argument, as a random number of chapters, let's say there's 10 chapters. And you, when you meditate, you may only reach one or two chapters. Do you manage to reach all 10? I don't know. Maybe, using this same analogy, that if you are reincarnated back into a physical body, if that's what happens, I'm not 100% sure that's what happens, but if that's what happens, perhaps the you reads a different chapter when you sit quietly and interpret who you are. Maybe you gather more of that information until you have completed the understanding completely of all 10 chapters, everything about who and what you are, and the wisdom that is clearly there, that is, it seems untappable. Anyway, I don't know what got me onto all of that again. It is that sort of deep philosophical thing, isn't it? It is a fascinating thing. I think life is absolutely fascinating. The true sense of what life is absolutely fascinating, and we are easily fooled into the material world and the emotions that come with this body have made us desire things. Now, whether that's a good or a bad thing, I don't really know. Because it may be, on the one hand, it may be that that's what we're here to desire and experience. But on the other hand, perhaps you get to a point where you realise that, yes, that was very important to go through that desire and experience. And then the desire changes to more simplicity, to doing very little, the basics of life, perhaps growing enough food to eat, sitting in silence, sitting with one with nature during this journey. Some people would not be able to tolerate that. and they would find that very difficult. And of course, that would echo the stage, I suppose, where they're at. And I guess I must be, I presume then I am myself on that cusp of having done the desire of ambition and so on, and wanting things and learning things. And now with the buying of the land and the wanting to be able to get back to nature, and you could see it in my journey that with the walks and stuff, that's where I was going with the Bald Explorer. You could see that the journey was, and I had to go through a period of revelations, of understanding from all sorts of things, whether some of it was rubbish and some of it was true, of who and what one is. And then you come out the other end, and some people are on that treadmill much longer, searching for a so-called truth. And I suppose 2.5 years, 3 years now it would be, I've come to the end of that process. And I do think of it as a process. And yep, we've gone through that. We've gone through the tyranny. We've gone through that. The world is still trying to capture people, and you know, in the illusionary world is still trying to do all the nasty stuff that I've often talked about. But I think the escape is to move away from that illusion, move away from the narrative. Because, well, I can't give you a because. I think if you're in it, it perpetuates itself. I think if you escape it or walk away from it and ignore it, and which is difficult, particularly when they write to you in brown envelopes and they're writing to your legal fiction, which of course is not you. It's again, it's part of the illusion. You return those to sender and say, I don't know who you're talking to. And you move away. And I think it does stop. And I think that's how people will get out of the sorrow of the world, by understanding what is actually true and not wrapping themselves up in this illusion and following with the story. You know, I suppose it's like watching a film. At any time you can walk out of the cinema. At any time, if that film is eternity, and you're watching the film and you're entranced in the cinema, you're stuck in the cinema entranced with whatever goes on in that building. But at any time, you are free to go. It's just that most people don't know that they're free to leave the cinema. And I'm leaving the cinema. The cinema isn't life. That's not life. No, that's, you're having your life, but your life is sat watching something else. Like people who sit and watch television all day long. You know, they're wasting their life because they're not doing anything. They're watching other people do things. And that's what's going on in this cinema. The cinema, what's on the screen is the story that the politicians are telling us and what mainstream media are telling us and what the council and the government are telling us. That's the story on the screen. And it feels very real because it's a big screen and we're sitting there and we feel that that's, you know, we're interacting with it mentally and using our senses, as it were. But actually, at any time, we can leave that cinema. We can get up off that seat and move away and say, I'm not going to watch this. I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm not having it. The journey to the door is, yes, a bit problematic, let's say, because that's where you are trying to escape it, as it were, not escape, but you're walking away with your head held up high. And that's when you've got to sort of deal with these brown envelopes and the legal fiction rubbish and all of this. And you come to terms with actually none of that's me. It's not me. Sorry, mate. I thought, you know, the legal fiction in a way is the same as the ticket. It's the ticket to get into the cinema. I had this ticket And I thought that was my ticket, but actually it's not my ticket. It's your ticket, isn't it? It's yours. It's the Crown's ticket. It's the Crown's cinema to keep us occupied over here. But it's a fake ticket. Actually, I don't have a ticket to be in here. I shouldn't be in here. I shouldn't be watching your nonsense. I should be out there in nature, cultivating, sitting quietly, working hard, working honourably, looking after friends and family, enjoying life. And this world of materials, commercialism and so on is just fake. Fake. We know it's fake. Commercialism has to be fake. The money that everything is bought and sold with is fake, backed by nothing, backed by an idea. It's not real. So it has to be fake. And people are piling in to the cinema because they've been given a ticket with a name that they think is them. I don't know whether any of that makes any sense to you. You probably think I've cracked it. I'm a crackpot, but maybe I am. 30 minutes again. Sorry to bend your ear, but you, at any time, not only can you exit the cinema, you can turn this off. Till next time. Bye-bye.